Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. Today's message is brought by Faye Clark.
We're ready. We're ready. Oh, I felt terrible when I got up this morning. I know. But do you know what? I was not going to let the enemy rob, steal, and destroy from me, or from you, or from Balston. So we're pushing on regardless. So I thought it'd be, I didn't think actually. I was praying for a word, and by Friday, and I've been poorly all week. You can get the little violins out in a minute. And by Friday, I was like, oh God, I've got to bring a message on Sunday. I feel so poorly. Please speak to me. And our God is so faithful. And we're going to continue to build on what Joyce Mayer has been bringing into the body. If you've not been here over the last few weeks, we've been doing a Bible study on Ephesians. And Joyce Mayer has just been really speaking into the heart of us and into the heart of the body about who we are in Christ, what we're called for, what he's given us. And so we're just going to continue to build on that today by continuing to look at his grace and his love, something that goes hand in hand. And we're going to start with a really short clip from the Skit Guys. Could I just ask you to shut the blinds, sorry, and turn the light off, just so that everybody can see. I'm not going to say anything else, because they speak for themselves, these guys. They're amazing, aren't they? I can't see my notes. And I love that. I love that sketch, and I love that Peter reminds me of me before God sometimes, just got to get it all out there. Got to get it all out there. And yet Jesus was just patiently listening but waiting for the penny to drop for Peter, and just how he loves us and he wants us to come just like Peter came, all excited, all full of life. And he's just waiting for the penny to drop about his grace and his love. Because when we get a fresh understanding, when we really start to understand the grace and love of Jesus, it transforms our walk with God. We can't be the same again. And just like Peter denied Jesus, haven't we all done that? Come on, guys, I'm not the only one. We've all done that, haven't we? And yet God, Jesus just lavished his love. The disciples and Peter, the disciples and Steve, the disciples and Keith. God calls your name. The disciples and Faye. He still loved Peter. Everything that he'd said about Peter was still true. You're the rock. I'm going to use you to build my church. I'm going to use you to feed my sheep. Every time we mess up, God's grace and his love is so sufficient for us when we come straight back to the cross. He says, I'm going to remove your transgressions as far as the east is from the west, sorry. Every time we mess up, his grace and his love is poured out in abundance. It's wiped clean and God still goes, that promise is yes and amen. Rita brought John 15 this morning to the prayer meeting and it says, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. Even with all our faults and failings, Jesus chose you because he loves you. And I was thinking about what a great message it was after Easter, because Easter wasn't just a Sunday. It didn't just happen last Sunday and then we can forget it till next year. Easter is every day. Easter is about every day, the resurrected King at work in our lives, the transforming work of God. And in Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 10, you can follow it in yours if you want to, but I'm actually going to read it from the Passion Translation, which is why we haven't got any scriptures up this morning, because it's just slightly different. And it says this, and his fullness fills you, even though you were once like corpses, dead in your sins and offences, It wasn't that long ago that you lived in the religion, customs and values of the world, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm who fills the atmosphere with his authority and works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth of God. The corruption that was in us from birth was expressed through deeds and desires of our self-life. We lived by whatever our natural cravings and thoughts our minds dictated, living as rebellious children subject to God's wrath like everyone else. But, love this bit, but there's hope, guys. But God still loves us with such great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy. If you want to know the rest of that, you can read it, but it goes on and on to talk about God's love and how much he loves us. And when we talk about that kind of love, and when we encounter that sort of love, it transforms our lives. When we encounter Jesus, we encounter him once, and that's it. We can encounter Jesus every day. We don't have to just come on a Sunday to encounter Jesus. In fact, please don't ever just come on a Sunday to encounter Jesus. What we come for here is to come together corporately. Then we can encounter Jesus every day, every morning, every afternoon, every lunchtime, every evening. Every time we get out of bed, we can encounter Jesus. Every time we go to bed, we can encounter Jesus. He's going to make you sleep better. We can encounter Jesus every day. It's not a one-off. And our response shouldn't be a Sunday response to him. That's God's bit done. Tick. I've given up an hour and a half. That's enough for God. Tick. God doesn't want an hour and a half. He wants forever with you. And it was an interesting picture that Hazel said she had, because when I was preparing this, I was reminded of a song by Gerard Cooper. It's really old, and I tried to Google it, but I couldn't find it anywhere. But this is what I could remember of it. And it said this: we can walk in the cool of the day. We can sit holding hands, dreaming dreams, making plans. And I thought, wow, if you were in the world, you were thinking it was a romance novel, wouldn't you? Yeah, how many of us think, oh, it'd be wonderful to sit and hold hands. I'd love to sit and hold hands with Steve at the end of the day, dreaming together, making plans together. And of course we do. Not quite like that. But we do make plans and we do have dreams. But God, he wants us to have that same relationship. He wants to sit holding hands with us, so close, such a close encounter, such a close relationship. He wants to dream dreams with you, bigger dreams than you could ever hope or imagine. He wants to make plans with you, bigger than what you planned for your life. Whatever you've planned for your life, stick a line through it, because God's got something greater. If you can do it, then it's not necessarily God, because if God's got something for you, he wants to enable you to do it so the kingdom is advanced, so that his miraculous, amazing, working, wonderful, amazing power is seen. I want to say this to you this morning. You are more than enough for Jesus. Just as you are, he wants you. He created you. That undeserved merit and favor of God is for you. And I've got some slides. Just flick through them. So grace, the undeserved merit, unearned favor of God. That means you cannot do anything to get it, because Jesus has done it for you. The exercise of love, kindness, mercy, favor, disposition to benefit or serve another. We're called to serve, guys. God's grace is not an excuse to sin, but rather a reason to love and serve him more fully. We don't think, oh, well, it's okay because Jesus has forgiven my sins. Yes, Absolutely, he has. And I always say this to my child. When we say sorry, it really means that we're sorry and we're not going to do it again because we recognise it's wrong. And so when we say sorry to Jesus, it means that we're not going to do it again because we know that's not his best for us. Are we going to probably do it again? Probably. But his love and his grace and his blood is sufficient. Grace means that all of our mistakes now serve a purpose instead of shame. I love this. All of those cock-ups that I've made in my life, and I've made a few, I love the fact that because of Jesus, I don't need to be ashamed anymore. All of those things that were bad decisions, he's going to turn them around so that other people can benefit from the experience that I've had, which means that I can speak into people's lives from a place of being rebuilt by Jesus. All of those places that were devastated and destroyed, which God has rebuilt with precious gems and precious jewels and precious love, I can really understand where people are coming from that are experiencing the same thing that I did. And we're going to have a quick scripture of grace, just in case you think that, you know. Grace is actually talked about 170 times alone in the New Testament. So can somebody find John 1 verse 16 and read it out for me? Come on. Don't mind who it is. Anyone got it? Anyone? Yes. We've got 1 Peter 5:6-12. We need all of those, so if you want to find one, you can find one and read it out, but not until I say. Yeah. 1 Peter 5:6-12, please. Amen. Don't panic, guys. It might be a bit shaky, but we've got a firm foundation in Jesus. Then there's Titus 2:11. Yes. Come on. We've got a theme here. Grace, love, salvation. Then there's Lamentations 3:22-24. I'll read that. I've got it here. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. Did you hear that? Never. It never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. God's amazing, isn't he? And then Ephesians 2. Fab. It's a gift. How often does someone give you a gift and you go, oh, no, it's fine? I do it all the time, actually. But if I just got a £5 note here and I just thought, oh, what should I do with that £5 note? There you go. That's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus does. His gift to you. It might be a £5 note. But his gift to you is love and grace. Not because you've done something to deserve that, but because he wants to give it to you. I just wanted to give that away today. Jesus wants to give us that every day. And I want to ask you this, what kind of man welcomes the company of the hurting, the helpless, and the hopeless? Because I don't know about you, but that was me. What kind of man does that? What kind of man can heal our pain with one gentle touch? Jesus was pained of his denial of Jesus. He must have carried it like a burden when he realised what he'd done and how he'd let his father down. I can't imagine how Peter must have felt. But his love, that's Jesus, not Peter. His grace and his compassion was enough for Peter. And it's enough for you. And I think that God just wants us to get a fresh understanding of his love. Because Joyce Meyer said this, God cannot love you any more than he does right now. Because he is love. But we can love him more deeply. And when we start to understand who we are in Jesus and what we've got in him and through him, we start to understand that our lives can be life-changing to others. When we understand the fullness of the love of the Father, and it's massive. And I think that's why God likes to remind us. That's why it's in here, so we can read it. I don't think that God's expecting us to go, oh, I've got it now. Yeah, I understand. Because we're on a journey. And as we go deeper with him, he shows more of himself to us. And that John 15 scripture that Rita brought this morning, it says, I no longer call you slaves, but friends. Because friends know what the master's doing. And the more that we love Jesus, the more he wants to show us what he's going to do. What kind of man multiplies hope and freedom in the same way that he does loaves and fishes? Jesus. Jesus. Who turns our rubbish old religion into a fullness of relationship? Jesus. Because he doesn't want religion. He wants relationship. What kind of man embraces betrayal, insults, torture, and even death, yet lives to talk about it? Jesus. Who is strong enough to still our storms? Who chooses patience despite deserving our immediate and complete obedience? Jesus does. And who loves us with an everlasting love that is so high and so deep and so wide? Who else loves us like Jesus does? No one. Who is the one that's left after everyone else has abandoned us? Jesus is always going to be there faithful, consistent, never changing, always the same. Me, I'm inconsistent, always changing, and I'm never the same. But Jesus is my consistent. Jesus is my never changing. Jesus is my always the same. Jesus is my faithful. Me, I'm always doing all those things. But with Jesus, I can be more consistent. I can be more faithful. I can be more loving. I can serve better. Because it's Jesus through me. Who is the one that comforts us in our suffering? Who is the one that is the peace in our anxiety? Are we getting the picture? Who reassures us when our mind is drowning in doubt? Thomas. Thomas was the doubter when Jesus was in the room with them. Well, Jesus, I'm only going to believe it if I can see the scars. Can't possibly be you. Jesus was gracious enough to show Thomas those scars. The small voice of calm of Jesus saying, "Trust me. This is the way. Walk in it. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am always there. I am always constant. I am with you. I'm cheering you on. I'm for you." And in Ephesians 2, verse 10, 11, and 12. "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we do the good things he planned for us long ago." Even before time. Doesn't say that, I've added, but it's true. "Don't forget, you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews. You were proud of who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their heart. In these days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promise God had made for them. You lived in the world without God and without hope. But now you have been united with Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near through the blood." And it talks about the plans there that God has got for us. Those same plans that he had for Peter. In here, verse 10 says this: "You have become the poetry." I love that. You have become the poetry. Poetry is such a beautiful thing, isn't it? When I think about poetry, I think of something of beauty. And it says, "We have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny." Wow. I love it. I want you to get a hold of that this morning. You have become his poetry. You are a recreated person that will fulfill your destiny that he has given you to do. For you are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before you were born, God planned in advance your destiny. You're not here by mistake. You're here because you were destined to. Can we have the worship team? Just want you to play for a little bit, please. Well, we were still stinking, sinking in rubbish and sin. Jesus died on the cross for us. No strings attached. He did it because he loves you. He didn't say, I'm doing it, but you've got to do this. He fulfilled the call of the Father to reconcile creation back to the Creator. It was his calling and his purpose. And just like Jesus had a call and a purpose to reconcile, we've got a call and a purpose to extend the kingdom. You know, Jesus knows the number of hairs on your head. He's captured every tear that you have cried. My beautiful, wonderful, compassionate Jesus. He's collected my tears of pain. He's collected my tears of joy. He's collected my tears of hurt. He's collected the public tears. And he's collected the private tears. And my Bible says this, he carries them. He bottles them and carries them in his heart. And Psalm 56 verse 8 says, you have kept track of my every toss and turn. Through the sleepless nights, each tear entered into your ledger, each ache written in your book. Who has more thoughts for you than there are grains of sand? Jesus. And this morning, I know that God wants to do business with us. And we just said he cannot love you any more than he does right now. Because love is who he is. But today, he's inviting you to love him a little more. Can I have that next lot of slides, Angus? I want you to remember this. It is finished. Exclamation mark, full stop. It is finished. All of these things, our sin, our inadequacies, our failure, our shame, our brokenheartedness, our rejection, our disappointments. When Jesus said, it is finished, he took all of those. And I was reminded about how sometimes we deal with stuff or we put them in a box or we put it away and go, that's dealt with. And I experienced something these last couple of weeks where I was reminded of some really deep wounds from my past and my past where I'd made some tough choices that weren't in line with God's word. And God reminded me that he can't change the consequence of those actions, but he can love me through the redemption of them. And I thought I dealt with all of the inadequacy, the shame, the disappointment, the loneliness, the rejection, the broke, all of those things. And when this thing happened, it took me right back to how I felt at the time that I was walking through this particular season of my life. And I would never change that because it makes me who I am. And God can still use that today to help other people. And at that time, my immediate reaction was not to go back to the it is finished. My immediate reaction was, I'm not having this in my home. I'm not having this happen to me all over again by somebody else. Because I've done that and I'm not doing it. And it took me a while to get back to the "it is finished." And when I got back to the "it is finished," I realized this. A love so deep, so wide, that it covers my everything. Though my mourning might last for a night, my joy is coming. That I'm accepted by the beloved, and he is the one that is healing every area that's damaged, every desert place that's not blooming. He's watering with his love and his calling and his new life and his strength and his purpose and his peace. And today, there is an opportunity to bring to the "it is finished" all of those things that we think that we perhaps have dealt with, just like me. I'm on a journey just like you. And sometimes we don't realize that we still need that "it is finished" in certain areas because we think we've done it, or we've tucked it in a little box of pain because it's too difficult. And God's saying, I want to release you from that into this. Because that is what I was doing on the cross. That is what my grace and my love is. It's fullness of life. It's fullness of strength. It's not a life of anxiety. It's a life of peace. It's a life of joy. It's a life of strength. I'm not saying you're not going to have battles, but when you come back to the "it is finished," I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to remind you. I'm going to release over you all that you need for such a time as this. And today, God wants to release over you for such a time as this, whatever it is that you need. You might need some fresh strength today. And in Ephesians 3 and verse 16, it says this. And I pray that he would pour out over you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Today, God wants to release over you all that you need. And then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life, providing you with a secure foundation that grows and grows. And I don't know about you, but I want to be on a secure foundation. Let's stand. Through this cross, there's the opportunity for a divine exchange. We get to exchange all of the stuff that was on that previous slide. And we get to receive all of the great things that are on here. So we're going to raise our hands. If you want a divine exchange with Jesus today, I want you to close your eyes, because nobody else is looking what you're doing. Nobody else is interested in what you're doing. But if you want a divine exchange with Jesus this morning, let's raise our hands. Let's just give God space this morning. Let's just give him all of that shame, all of that rejection, all of that hurt, whatever it is that you want to have a divine exchange with Jesus this morning with. Now is your opportunity. And all you need to say is, Jesus, I give you my whatever it is that you want to give him. And I receive in its place that love that is so high and so deep and so wide. And I receive the joy of my salvation afresh. And I receive fresh purpose today. I receive fresh strength today. I receive the acceptance of Jesus afresh this morning. I receive the healing, that soft, amazing touch from Jesus. Just one touch from the King changes everything. God, I receive that one touch from you this morning. Jesus, healing today. Heal our bodies, heal our minds. God, today, one touch from you, Jesus. We receive from you, O God.